Nick Nurse joins us. Did we interrupt your guitar practice at all?
Nope, not one bit. Oh. Little Stevie Ray Vaughan there, Bob, huh? Mm-hmm. Pride and Joy.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
nice, nice.
Look at you. You take your axe. You take your axe on the road, huh?
Shit, yeah, I guess so.
Well, you did. So. You did.
Hey, I did. I know. I just started. It gives me something to do a little bit. You know, 10 or 15 minutes at a time. I need a little break. You know, it's good.
How long have you been?
I'm not very good, but I enjoy it.
Well, how long you been playing? Is this a new thing?
Little bit more than a year.
Really?
In fact, my 14-year-old son was taking lessons in Toronto, and I would go with him with a guy by the name of Dave Gablay, and sit in the he has a studio in his home, and I would sit in the living room and listen to him give my son lessons, and I did that all summer. And I said, man, this guy is like one of the best teachers I've ever seen of anything. And I said, I'm going to start playing. Give me a couple lessons. So we had a few lessons and taught me a few chords, and that's about it.
That's good. It's good for the soul, Nick. It's good for the soul.
All right. What can you play? I mean, what's the first song you tried to play? It's not that long ago, Coach.
You should. I know. It's an easy answer. It was Folsom Prison, Johnny Cash.
Oh, really? Oh, yep. Very good. All right. Well, keep working on it. Now, I have been known to play a little bit.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, yeah. And at some point in time, you and I will get together and jam. All right?
Okay.
You don't sound the least bit interested in that.
Yeah, that was a little lukewarm. That's a little lukewarm.
It's only, we'll have to, in the future, maybe a little bit more. I need to get a little better first. But,
yeah, that's okay. That's okay. That's all right. I got time, I think. And so it begins, I got to get your take on what you saw on Sunday night. You know, it's up there with the most dramatic things I've seen in sports in almost 60 years of watching everything that comes down the pike. You're on the bench. You got a perfect view of it. Like, what was your feeling? I mean, you were pretty calm afterwards, but tell me about the shot.
Well, I mean, obviously, I was glad that he got one off and we got it in, and that guy had the chance to win it for us. You know, there's a lot of things that could happen there, but we got him the ball and he got one off. I think at that stage, Bob, I thought we were playing a little bit better there the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game. It's, you know, sometimes you sneak your way into overtime, but I thought we almost, they almost snuck their way into it, right? They had a couple really, really good breaks, and we missed a free throw. And, you know, I don't know. I just felt like we were getting better shots than they were getting and things like that. We just needed a better bounce of the ball, and by God, did we get one.
You played this series, especially at the end, with a really short bench, and that's perfectly understandable from a variety of perspectives. But I raised this question earlier in this program. Howard Beck was on with us from Bleacher Report, and I said, I wonder if Nick is going to, at least to start this series, expand the bench at least a little bit. Have you decided on that?
I think initially, Bob, I would say that we're going to, and we have to, and we want to, you know, all those kind of things. And I think that series in particular with that team just put us in a little bit of a bind. They're just so big, and we just didn't have great matchups for like Fred and Kyle to play much together, for Fred, Kyle, and Norm to play together.
Yeah.
We just needed to be bigger, and I'm glad that we got to do that, because I liked that team, that big team, and I hadn't seen all that much of it. And we never really used the Kawhi, Pascal, Serge, Mark lineup you know, all year.
Nope.
So it was nice to see it, and it was nice to see it be almost a little bit intimidating back at them. You know, it almost seemed like we were the bigger team there for a minute, you know, because we got them at a couple of positions. And Kyle plays obviously bigger than he is. So, but back to your question, yeah, I think I'm hoping there's better matchups. There's a chance for guys that we need, the guys that we believe in that can perform. You know, Freddie's a big time performer this time of year, in my opinion. He always has been his whole life. Norman has had some playoff moments, and he needs to have some in this series. Norman Powell, that is. I still love what Pat McCaw brings. He's a guy that runs down loose balls and defends. So who knows, you know, where it ends up going. But I would imagine all those guys and possibly even Jody Meeks get a look at some point and then just see how it all plays out.
Is there any chance, Nick, that if this is a long series that you get that Ananobi's back? I know he's started to work out a little bit, but
I don't think so. I don't think for this series, maybe they said a week he's moving around now. They said a week from today, they're going to have a little bit more of an idea if he can kind of really start moving, you know, like start moving with some speed and getting out there and on the floor. So it's about a week away. So I would imagine, I guess maybe if it goes really long, but I would think that maybe the next series he'll be ready for.
Appendectomy, you know, we've seen players come back in less than 2 weeks from an appendectomy. This has been a rather long process. Were there complications? Do you know?
Yeah, it was a rough surgery. There was some type of infection as well that they were back, you know, with. I think it's like an hour. I mean, again, like an hour to an hour and a half normal surgery, and they were in there over 3 hours. And there it was tough. Yeah, it was a tough one.
You talked about
so bad for him.
You talked about the big lineup, and now you've had a chance to see it. Given the matchup that you're facing now, do you think we're likely to see Ibaka and Gasol on the court a lot at the same time?
I mean, it's possible, Bob. I think, again, like my first initial like gut feeling about going with that lineup was because we needed Serge to impact the series, right? And it just didn't seem like he was going to against Embiid. But it didn't mean that it couldn't impact it against somebody else. And Mark was having such a great series against Embiid anyway. So, you know, it was like we needed Mark to play Embiid, but we needed Serge to impact the series. So I think the same. I think we need Serge to impact this series. It may turn out that they can do it in and out this time. But again, I think if Serge is going to rebound and shot block and run and throw in some putbacks here and there, he's going to have to be on the floor, whether we're playing big or whether we're not, you know.
It's a very different challenge, this team, though, isn't it? This Milwaukee team. You're facing a very different kind of opponent here. You talked about Philadelphia and their size, yep, and about Embiid, but you know what you're facing here is it's kind of chalk and cheese. It's a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And most of it's stylistically, right? I mean, both Orlando and Philly were pretty traditional, right? They would come down and they'd execute in the half court. They'd throw it inside. They'd run a variety of screen and rolls. They'd run certain plays for certain guys, and they'd say, here it comes, stop it. You know, but this team is much different. It's first of all, they're really play a high rate in transition. You know, Giannis gets it off the glass, and it's everybody scatters, and he just starts steamrolling down the floor, and you got to try to stop him. And as soon as you need more than one person to stop him, he's going to kick it out, and they're going to fire a three. And everybody they have can do that. And the other challenge is they've got a bunch of guys that can really take it off the dribble. It's not like it's just him. They Bledsoe gets you and looks you in the eye and tries to blow by you off the dribble. So does George Hill. So does Malcolm Brogdon. So does Connaughton. So they've got a bunch of guys that can penetrate and get to the rim, which is really what they want to do. They play much more of a drive and kick style basketball than typical half court sets that we saw in the first two cities. So we're going to have to get ready for that.
Nick, what makes them switch? What makes them so effective defensively?
Well, they're pretty long as well, right? They start with Giannis and Middleton and Brooke Lopez just lives at the rim, and he's one of the best rim protectors and defensive rebounders in the NBA. They got some length in Ilyasova and Mirotić, and their guards are pretty athletic and physical, like Brogdon and Bledsoe and those guys. They get up, George Hill, they get up underneath you and really pressure you. So they've got a lot of pieces to be a good defense.
With Nick Nurse, the Raptors head coach. It's kind of a funny question, Nick, because, my observation is the NBA today is not the NBA I grew up watching, and that's an understatement to say the least. But, used to be a common question, who are you going to put on this guy? And that whoever you put on that guy, that was essentially his responsibility. But the game today is all about switching. And so I'm not sure that this question is nearly as pertinent as it might have been even 10 years ago. But who are you going to put on Antetokounmpo?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and you stated it really well, because it's going to be a lot of guys just based on who's in proximity as he's bringing it up the floor in transition.
Yeah.
I mean, that is exactly what you just said. I would say, hey, what's the matchup? I mean, the matchup's probably going to start out with, one of our wings, Danny or Pascal or Kawhi. Right.
Yep.
They got three, similar sized wings, and we got them as well. And I would imagine there'll be times when we want certain guys on them. And again, like you said, as soon as you put your favorite matchup on them, all they're going to do is send all different kinds of combinations up to screen to see if they can get you to switch another guy off.
Yeah.
If they want a favorable matchup. So there's all that's going on all the time. And what it comes down to, and you alluded to this in your question as well, in this league now, you've got to be able to defend multiple people, and that's one thing, we found out in the Philly series that Serge was able to play, even though Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler were good off the dribble. It wasn't like he was out there guarding Westbrook or John Wall or somebody. He wasn't switching onto those guys.
Right.
These guys could take it, but they were, he could at least chase them down from behind and bother them or whatever if they did get by him. So you got all kinds of and Gasol's similar, even though he's big and maybe doesn't have the greatest speed. He's got great positioning and a great IQ, and he'll kind of use his body and stay in. They'll pull up and he'll give them a late challenge at the end. So I know you just got to be able to do it in this day and age, and I think we do that pretty well. But again, coming back to all their guards are pretty fast. They've got three or four guards that are pretty fast, straight line drivers, and we're gonna have to gauge how that's going as well.
Look, the defense is not really an issue. I mean, you had a couple of games where you didn't play, where the defense wasn't great, but I mean, most of the way it was really solid. The offense, on the other hand, has been kind of sketchy, and we all know what happened in Game 7. It became Kawhi centric, and I'm not here to argue that. Guy throws up 39 shots. That's a lot of your offense. But what I was concerned about, and I don't know whether you were, was the immediate willingness of everybody else to defer. There were guys that had shots, didn't take them, and always seemed to be looking for Kawhi, get the ball in Kawhi's hands. Have you addressed that with the team? Do you have to address that with the team? Was this deliberate? Was it circumstantial? Tell me about it.
Well, I think that, it did kind of turn out that way. And I think in the late stages, it's certainly deliberate, right? The last, 3 to 5 minutes and late in the game, we want to at least, we certainly don't want to come down and not let him touch it. Just about every possession, he should take a crack at it. And if they send bodies, we gotta do it. And that's really my only concern, Bob, is that you know, he's going to see double teams and he's going to see triple teams, and that our spacing and cutting and decision making is quick, and that when it comes out, we take advantage of what's left. You know, if you use two bodies on somebody, somebody's open, right? And you got to get off the ball and get it to that open guy, and then make the next reads, and then you got to take them. You know, I keep going back to the point of these kind of points. You know, in game two, we took 21 uncontested. Nobody running at us three-pointers. That's a lot. In game seven, in the first 8 minutes of the game, we had 22 uncontested shots in 8 minutes.
And hit nothing.
No. And hit nothing. So I think that's got everybody a little gun-shy a little bit. But I think, you know, to me, it's a clean slate, man, new series. Who knows what the looks are going to look like? Who knows what the matchups are going to be? I mean, you take some guesses, but I just think that we take a couple deep breaths. We get back to being a little bit more ourselves. We get our assist numbers up. We start shooting the three ball like we can. We were the number one three-point shooting team in the league since the addition of Gasol. And I believe in those guys, man. They're experienced and they're good shooters. And I'm hoping that things kind of balance out a little bit on that end of the floor in the series.
Yeah, you can make things a little easier on yourselves. Just a touch.
Yes.
Yeah, make a few of those.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you get any sense that these guys were nervous going into game seven? Because the shooting was just – it was abysmal. And, I mean, you documented all the open shots the guys had. I mean, it's not like contested tough. They're trying to make tough shots, trying to make things happen. They just were throwing one brick up after another. And I kept wondering, Coach, are these guys, are they nervous? Are they tense? Are they playing outside themselves? Did you get any sense of that?
I think both teams were, Bob. I think, I don't know if nervous is the right word, but one of the things that I look for or I was noticing was both teams were way short.
Yeah.
Right. It was like, normally like when a ball is shot and it's missed, like 70% of the time, the momentum carries it to the other side of the basket. Right. That's just kind of the way it is. If you take a look at all shots ever taken. And in that game, it was like 0% were going onto the other side of the basket. They were all coming back to the middle.
Oh, I know.
Or short, you know, so even the rebounding thing, in fact, you know, Kyle's two rebounds in one possession, they were both right back to the front of he ran in there twice to the front of the free throw line and got them. So anyway, I just think both teams were playing very, very hard. You know, they were using a lot of energy on defense. The pace at the start was almost wild, you know. And I think both teams wanted to win very, very badly, you know.
CDGF. Those are the three letters you need to know. Those are the chords. If you can play those four chords,
you can be a rock and roll star, my friend.
You can do anything.
You certainly be Johnny Cash.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. Gordon Lightfoot made an entire career out of playing four chords, and hence his nickname, Four Chord Gord. Coach, we wish you good luck. We thank you very much for the time today, and we'll be watching. Thanks, pal.
Okay. Always enjoy it, Bob. Take care, bud.